How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. One of the things we like to do for our listeners, especially our beloved on-demand listeners here on Issues Etc., is leave the phone open for them all the time. Now, if you were to call the studio line, you might get us during business hours, or if you're going to call during the show to comment, you would have just a scant 2 hours to do so on weekdays. But if you call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, you can call any time, and the phone will pick up, answer, and allow you to leave your question, comment, show suggestion, your criticism, whatever you want to say, you can leave it at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. The next few minutes, your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. And up first, some feedback from an interview earlier this week on Christ-centered worship versus me-centered worship.
This is Paul in Milwaukee with questions concerning the Monday program on entertainment versus liturgical worship. Number one, in the context of Christianity in general, does the practitioner of entertainment worship actually become an idolater by worshiping himself rather than God? Could the entertainment worship performance be an end in itself? Does the seeker of good feelings alone leave church unrepentant and therefore unforgiven? Number two, in the context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, do we know if entertainment worship is the product of fulfilling a demand from the pew, or is it another example in contemporary life of an active, self-anointed elite laying their utopian vision on the worldly, corrupted, lazy, ignorant, and weak? Is it both? Thanks for listening.
Well, it's a very good series of questions. Let's take them in order. First of all, is me-centered worship, this entertainment-centered worship, can it be idolatry? The answer is an emphatic yes, of course it can be, and often is idolatry. If one is worshiping a god of one's own imagination, even if one sincerely believes they are worshiping the true God, and how much of religious life in the world today are people who sincerely believe they're worshiping the true God, but in fact are worshiping only a god of their imagination? There are idols that you craft out of wood and stone and precious metals, and then there are the idols, and these are often far harder to displace, that are crafted out of our own imaginations. And even Christians can be guilty of idolatry if what they are worshiping on Sunday morning, who they are worshiping on Sunday morning, is not in fact the true God, but only the God of their imagination. And if what they are seeking is a God that is essentially the good feeling that they get, if where they seek their good is from that good feeling, that mountaintop experience, then that is idolatry. Luther says that an idol is whatever or whomever you seek your good from. Whatever or whomever you run to when times get hard, you flee to for refuge when you are desperate and at your wit's end, that's your God. And if you go to church because you need that fix, that emotional, you may call it spiritual, but really it's the emotional fix that you get when the praise band is pumping and everything's working just right, it's idolatry. Is it always idolatry? No, but it certainly can be. Now, the other question, can then the seeker of mere good feelings rob himself of both repentance and forgiveness? Well, yes. I mean, there's in idolatry, there's no forgiveness to be had. And then finally, he asked whether or not in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, this is being driven, entertainment worship, that's my particular Lutheran denomination, whether it's being driven from the pew, that is this a grassroots effort, or is it coming from a ecclesiastical elite, that is perhaps the pastor or a smaller group within the congregation? I think it's a cooperation of both very often, but my experience has shown that often the pastor is driving the agenda. He may, in fact, be responding sometimes to the demands of people in the pew. That's really irrelevant, to tell you the truth. Whether the pastor is pushing it or the people are pushing it, it's no more legitimate if the people are pushing it. To depart from the clear means of God's word and his sacraments for something that is essentially entertainment, audience-driven, driven by the felt needs of people, whether it's coming from the grassroots or coming from Mount Olympus, it doesn't really make any difference. Whatever reason a congregation abandons the clear and secure word of God for something of their own imagination, their own making, there's never a good reason for it. Just because the grassroots demand something doesn't mean it's legitimate. But I think it's a cooperative effort on the part of both, and it's a case-by-case basis. Some congregations abandon the historic form of Christian worship out of ignorance. Some are led to do it by pastors who are just bored with how Christians worship. Works both ways. When we come back, a little summer movie review. Brian Gadawa will be our guest.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
You'll find 130 Bible stories for young children in the Story Bible. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. The Story Bible contains high-quality, realistic art, discussion questions, and prayers. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Story Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, the Story Bible, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Recognizing the personhood of the unborn.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Jenna Nielsen was 8.5 months pregnant when she was murdered in North Carolina. Although her killer was charged in her death, he could not be charged with murdering her unborn son, Ethan. That situation may soon end in the state. The North Carolina House and Senate, led by pro-life leaders elected in 2010, recently passed Ethan's Law, which would allow for a person to be charged with two homicides if he kills a pregnant woman. If signed into law, North Carolina would join nearly 36 other states and the federal government in recognizing the personhood of unborn victims of violence.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.